Allie, I'll carry you. Don't worry.
He reached down and tried to get a hold to lift the huge suit, but it was an awkward position, and he was so afraid of dislodging Allie's grip on the hole. The hole, my God, a hole! Seconds, seconds.
I've got you,
he said, and the next blast struck. Damned close. And in that instant before he careened away, he saw, through the glare of the blast, through the blinding sand, through the reflection of it all on Allie's faceplate, the fear. Allie was afraid. And then he was crashing and tumbling through the air, and the sand and bodies jounced obscenely past him and against him, and the world was filled with the sounds of their terrors and their deaths. Seconds, seconds, seconds. Somehow he was back and leaning over him again. There was nothing else, nothing but this to do, and this one to live, to make it, to live. Allie! But the glove on the rip was weakened and opening, the head lolling inside the helmet.
No!
He screamed.
No!
And he reached down and clamped his glove over his friend's and gripped with all his might. With his other hand, he reached around and down and lifted him, weightless, up against him as a mother does her child, pressed against her chest and protecting. Allie's faceplate full on his own, Allie's eyes darted slowly and rested on his, and he opened his mouth, and ice formed immediately on his gums, but he still managed to say,
Felix,
before he died. 3 steps into the cone, unhurt by the carnage, untouched by it. Transit, the patterned lights, the drop bay, and people everywhere rushing with waving arms and strident voices. Someone tried to take the golden suit from his arms, and for a moment the urge to kill was strong and clear and pure. But no, he relented, slid the shining gold to the floor, and walked away. It may as well have been an empty suit. Allie was gone. People pushed against him, shoving him back from the growing center of alarm and accusations. He moved when they pushed, stood still where they left him. He seemed to be there a long time, facing, without seeing, the cascade of movement and emotion. Then someone took him by the arm and led him firmly away. Someone big, in big blue armor. Fine. He could walk. He could do that. Through the corridors they went. They passed the door to the armor locker. They took a lift. They transferred to another. They began to walk faster, urged by the big blue glove on his arm. They were in a part of the ship he had never seen. He recognized it from the briefings and the rest, but he couldn't seem to place it exactly. And he was tired of walking, tired of the suit, tired of the urgency he could not match in their strides. They stopped. The blue arm let go. He stood in semi-darkness, watching as a black and white jumpsuit, security, rushed forward, yelling about unauthorized and wearing armor where they should not, and the blue arm whipped out tendon taut and the black and white was on the floor. What the hell? He blinked and looked, and Kent? Kent? Kent was coming toward him again, the determined iron look on his face. He had seen that look before, once before, and...
No!
He blurted and tried to push out to protect himself. But then the great blue fist rocketed up at his eyes, slamming against the faceplate, and as he fell, he relaxed and let go. At last, at least it was over.